Our first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, 33rd chapter, verses 14 through 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. The second reading is from the letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. A hunter and his friend were walking down a path when they spot a deep hole in the ground. And the hunter says, how far do you reckon that hole goes? And the friend replies, I don't know. Let's chunk something down there and find out. So they look around and they found an old rusted radiator under some nearby bushes. So they lug it over to the hole and they throw it in. And they start to count and listen for the thud. But before they hear it land, they notice a goat charge from the bushes and leap into the hole. Well, shocked and confused, they both continue on the path ahead. And about 15 minutes later, they are confronted by an old farmer who asks them, have you seen a goat pass nearby? And the hunter replies, well, yes, we did. About a mile back, we saw it dive into a pit. He was moving like 60 miles an hour. And the farmer looks at him dazed and speaks, well, that's impossible. He was tied to an old radiator. For the goat, that was definitely not the right path to be on. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim, for it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. These are the inspirational words of The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, my favorite poet. In fact, that is my favorite poem, because it basically speaks to me about my life, choosing a path that was different from many of my friends and family. A path that says a lot about who I am as a person and also about my faith, just as your chosen path says a lot about you and your faith. The Bible is filled with different paths, both good and bad. As we begin the season of Advent, we often turn to the words of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 3, that were centuries later quoted by John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus. And Isaiah says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The Bible is strong about the importance of choosing. There are right paths and there are wrong paths. There are good choices and not so good choices. Well, today our lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, and we get the ancient apostles' idea of what makes for good paths. What sort of path should we desire that gives us the best chance to get to the destinations we want? Paul writes, "But Timothy has now just come to us from you, and he has brought us the good news of your faith." And later in the same reading, he adds, "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith." Well, what does it mean to walk on the path of faith? It could mean that we're comfortable when walking by faith and not by sight, trusting in the promises of God, even when circumstances seem uncertain and the path ahead appears unclear. Hebrews 11 gives us more detail. "Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." It's like that the Harrison Ford character Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, where Indy must cross an enormous chasm to get to the Holy Grail. "It's a leap of faith," he concludes, "before stepping into the void, and an invisible bridge only appears after he takes the plunge, and step by step, he makes it across." But he wouldn't have gotten anywhere if it had not been for that first step of faith. Getting comfortable with that sort of sightless walking takes time. And that's why walking on the path of faith might also mean we must learn perseverance. Faith enables us to persevere in the face of trials, to find hope in the midst of despair, and to experience joy even in the midst of sorrow. Getting knocked down, but never knocked out, and getting up again. That takes perseverance. Faith also might mean that we need to walk with someone else, not by ourselves. Walking in the path of faith is easier when it's done in community. Faith is not meant to be lived in isolation, but in community with other believers. That's why the Bible places such importance on living together in faith, answering the call to encourage, support, and uplift one another, bearing each other's burdens, and sharing in each other's joy. But still, there are challenges and dangers. One of the big ones is negotiating the tension between belief and doubt. It's going to happen. No one walking by faith, like a blindfolded person in a house, will do so without being assailed by doubt and fear. It's common. It's natural. It's okay to have doubts. All great heroes of our faith have encountered it, including those whose stories we read in the Bible. And another challenge is the temptation to prioritize materialistic pursuits and pleasures over what is best for us spiritually. It's not too hard to lose sight of our spiritual identity and calling. We need to make it difficult. We need to make difficult choices and sacrifices that may run counter to societal norms or personal desires. The path of faith may call for forgiveness, standing up for justice, persevering in the face of persecution, rejection or ridicule, and living a life of simplicity and humility. I mean, that can be tough. And these issues notwithstanding, walking by faith is ultimately rewarding. It's marked by moments of profound grace, divine intervention, and spiritual growth. Paul tells the believers of the Thessalonian church that Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news of your love. And then he adds, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So clearly the path of love is important to the Apostle Paul. I mean, he famously devoted an entire chapter on the subject in his first letter to the church at Corinth. It's also called the love chapter, and you hear it read at a lot of weddings. And four things just immediately leap out from a close look at our text today. The Lord is the source of love. Love can increase. Love can abound. Love is inclusive. When walking the path of abounding love, it is helpful to remember that the Lord is the source of love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love. The prayer begins with an acknowledgement that true love originates from God. Paul is asking the Lord to actively work in the hearts of believers, enhancing their capacity to love. And this implies that the ability to love others deeply and genuinely is a gift, a divine gift, not merely a human effort. And frankly, this means that if we're having trouble abounding in love, it could be that we're having a tough time abounding in the Lord. Paul also decides this love to increase, which suggests growth and development. True love is not static, but flowing and dynamic, expanding and growing. True love is love that lasts down the road. It comes from God and is nurtured through prayer, through study of the Word, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and a genuine desire to lay down love for people. The righteous brothers may have lost that love and feeling, but righteous believers not only hang on to it, they get better at it. It is a love that is a generous, extravagant, and selfless love. It's a love that doesn't hold back, but gives freely and abundantly, just as God has given to us. And finally, Paul wants us to walk the path of inclusive love. Abound in love for one another and for all, he writes. And this dual focus is crucial. We should have no trouble walking the path of abounding love while enjoying the support of the community of faith. But Paul makes it clear that our love should abound for everyone. And that can be quite the challenge. It broadens the scope to include love for everyone, including neighbors, strangers, even enemies. This is expansive and perhaps expensive love, but it is also what the church is all about. This love dovetails with God's universal love for humanity and underscores the mission of the church to be a light to the world, demonstrating God's love to all people, regardless. And this cannot happen unless we depend on God for strength and courage. Abounding in love can't happen without practicing generosity. And it is more than likely that walking the right path of abounding love cannot happen without making a conscious effort to expand your reach, to love not only those within your immediate circle, but also those outside it. The right path can at times be difficult, but it can also lead to the very essence of the nature of God. Scripture tells us that God is love, and when we love, we are like God. In a world that often celebrates the bad, arrogant jerks among us, living a holy life makes believers stand out. It's okay to be different. It's okay to desire to walk the path of the righteous. It's okay to take the road not taken, because it will indeed make all the difference. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.